one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 174, The Bicycle of Dreams.
Ride a bicycle made of dreams into friendship. Yay!
I don't know you two.
That's what they all say. I'm Severin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
And we're Knotcast. All just kind of like, it's been a week.
Yeah, it's been kind of a shitty week.
My week's been okay.
Mine's been pretty average.
I got my associate's certificate, so that's cool.
Yay! Yes,
I tweeted it on my non-furry account. But it exists. That means that I didn't just, you know, take all that money that we spent on me going back to school on blow.
Ooh, I didn't know your middle name until now.
Yes. Now people on the internet know my first name, which doesn't help them much.
You're one of a herd, because it's not terribly distinctive.
Well, that was the thing. It's like I tweeted it back when I was out in San Francisco.
Panther just hit Shiva for saying herd.
Don't get all flank herd. Somebody's acting a bit unstable.
Hit him with his degree.
No, it might break the frame.
My smart paper. Why?
You're beating the smarts out of... Ow, that's smart.
you didn't hit Fuzz for that bad pun.
But the
it wasn't pony related. It's okay.
The annoying part was that the email had actually landed in my junk mail.
Yeah, that's
so it'd been sitting
weird
for a bit, and I was like, "Son of a bitch!"
It's just odd that like an email from your college would end up caught by your spam filter.
Well, the reason it said is like your certificate is available for pickup.
Oh, that's a common,
which
you're
is a
right
common spam thing. So it goes like, "Oh, pff, not like this guy went to school. I mean, what the fuck is he doing with his life other than making a podcast about dog people fucking?" He doesn't need that. No. But I was able to pick it up, and it's all nice, and I have some frames. I mean, it's just an 8.5 by 11, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you should have it tattooed on your back. No. So that when you're found dead at the side of the road, the coroner can go, hey, he had an accomplishment.
Yay, I have a plus one. Though, hey, they gotta say it, my parents didn't finish college, so for me, it's a step up.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You know.
I mean, so, you know, it was, things were a little different in Britain. Like, the whole you dropped out of high school is not like a big, in the 60s, 70s, wasn't like a big social stigma there. It was like, you're 16, you stop going, and you go into a trade. Or you can stay until you're 18 and be more educated. So,
yeah, it's like,
my mom left at 16, went to work in a jeweler's factory, making little rings, painting little intricate things.
Nowadays, you gotta have something to even get looked at for a real job.
Yeah.
Kind of bullshit. Why can't I leverage my extensive podcasting experience into a real job?
Well, yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but I actually thought it was kind of interesting. Was the TV show Heroes that was on a couple years ago?
Yeah,
there were some guys that did a Heroes podcast, and they kind of very quickly became the premier podcast in the Heroes fandom. You know, they had all the listeners and shit like that, and they had like custom artwork for each chapter. They did an enhanced AAC. They had like little segment intro breaks, and it was a very well produced podcast. Mm. Well, that guy ended up, they got to go to Comic-Con, and they got to go to a bunch of places, and actually let him on the set of the show and shit like that, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that dude ended up getting a job at some media company out in California that produces media content for the web. So he was able to leverage his fan hobby experience thing into an actual career. I thought that was pretty cool.
I guess I'm working on that.
I mean, it's probably one of those things that's few and far between. Most of us are just going to do this for fun.
Yeah, I mean, but, this is, like, my major hobby.
Yeah. But still, you know, you're fucking around with audio tech and stuff like that. And it's, yeah. Even if I'm not an expert on this kind of stuff, it's interesting. And you know more than, like, the average person. Mm-hmm. So it can come like, in handy.
You know, use an iMovie and, you know, GarageBand and iPhoto and...
Yeah, I seen the GarageBand app for the iPhone. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
you can do a lot on little portable gadgets now.
It's pretty magical.
You should get it on the iPad at some point. I don't know if I'd actually use it or not. But.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I'm sure it works all right, but I just like we record on my computer. That.
Yeah. Then again, my iPad doesn't have a mic, so I would have to get one of the USB connector kit mics for it.
You can't just yell at it really loud?
Apparently not.
I love you, dog!
All the fucking apps close and start wiggling in terror.
That's the name of the iPad. It's Dog, no.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't dog it be wiggling and happy then? It's like it's wagging at you.
Yeah, it's wiggling.
What's this fluid coming out of the link port? Oh. It's afraid. So
that would suck
if your technology just reacted physically. You know, like your battery on your Kindle is low, so it shits all over you or something.
It starts screaming.
It sounds like a dying Dalek.
Your computer sees you masturbating in front of it and vomits. Don't throw shit. No, dear. Bad.
Bad.
If anything, I would do it over the... Whoops, sorry. Over the thing.
No.
I didn't disconnect my own microphone.
Don't encourage him.
Don't throw atomic fireballs across the room, dear. This is not kindergarten.
Fireball! Magic missile!
I'm going to pass a note to Saverin. Numbers? Those are illegal in Ponyville. Saverin might be a robot.
Don't tell them or they'll come and beat me with their batons.
Will the fashion police beat you with their fantastic batons? Fabulous batons.
And see, that was Panther correcting you because yeah, he's watched it.
Correcting me on my meme. Yeah. I see he's doing dishes over there. I hope he's planning to clean them with wubs.
No, he's not actually doing that.
You haven't seen that one yet?
No.
Oh, that one's funny.
Oh my god, guys. If that sigh shows up on the show, that's the first time that Panthers made a noise that wasn't caused by hitting one of us.
the exertion of the beatings. That was a grunt, a deep insulation of breath. You're out of shape. Died from Clerks. But
and that was the knife flicking out.
I hope that doesn't show up on a recording. That's scary.
All the blood.
All our listeners in South Central will be looking over their shoulders.
And there was so much blood, we just slid down the mountain. So we got emails this week. I kind of posted the actual topic late, so we don't have a ton of emails. Well, we did get a bunch of emails, but a lot of them were like one line asking a question that was like not an actual question. So
you want to address the one. I don't know if you have the actual email on that. So
I archived it, but it was a real simple question. Okay. Somebody wrote in this week saying or asking where you can go and listen to the podcast live. Answer is, you don't. This is recorded in a quote-unquote closed studio. We don't live stream it at all. You get the episode when release it, because if, God forbid, we say something so egregious I have to edit it, the only person that will hear it will be us, and we'll snicker about it, because it was probably really funny, but a bit over the line.
Right.
And that's amazing, after this show, knowing that we actually have lines that we won't cross.
Only a couple.
Yeah. It's very, very, very rare.
Mostly real names, drama related.
Yeah.
Holocaust humor, stuff like that.
You've done Holocaust humor. It's made it to out there, though.
Yeah, I know. Go to my Twitter account if you want. No. Even I keep that kind of on the down low.
That's at racist werewolf.
It hates other kind of canines. Oh. I can do that. Start the racist werewolf account. Hey, werelions, fucking pussies.
We're bat. We're like, we're flying rat. Vermin, get out of my sky. Blocking my moon.
Yeah, I got my moon shades on.
Skeegan hell, Batkin.
What?
Skeek, what? Skeek, motherfucker.
What the hell are you two going on about?
We're jabbing on something here.
Yeah,
funny. What we anyway? No, yeah, we did like two live stream shows in the past.
Yeah, but that was when Bucktown was on, and he normally does stream his stuff.
Well, no. One night it was just you and I, and they were fun, but they're also really distracting because we were trying to like watch the chat, the live stream chat room on the laptop as well, and I ended up. Like, half the time I was just watching the stream and, like, other people were talking and it's like...
Yeah.
But, oh, hey, here's a guy asking this. And if you're not on the live stream, it's kind of context-free once the MP3 goes out because people are like, okay, I didn't see, you know,
so, the chat room. Oh, man, look at that line. Man, that guy is funny. Ha, ha, ha. Let me not explain the joke.
Yeah. We're not real good at the live... casting as far as the
streaming,
the live streaming. Yeah, I'd rather do this where it's just the three of us. I feel a little more, there's less pressure. It just kind of feels more like a casual conversation than being like, oh my god, there's 1,000 people watching us online. Ah, you know,
and half of them are masturbating.
Yeah,
so if you want to see us live, you pay con attendance and do one of the cons that we do a live show at, and you see it in person.
Whee! So, OaklaCon.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
And Furry Fiesta.
Yep.
Pretty much it, guys. Yep. So, who wants to start out emails this week? Because we don't have a lot.
It's an email.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, I'll start.
With Fuzzwolf's reaction.
Whoa, I can tell you read some of these because, like, all my markers on red has gone away.
Yeah, there's not a lot to choose from.
Okay. All right, I don't know what this is about, but it has an interesting subject line. So let's find out together. This will be an adventure. Friendship is not vampirism. Well, unless you're dating, like, a Twilight fan, I guess, you know. Well, dear Notcast crew, it's that ink-tailed otter once again, and this time I have some advice for your listeners. For as long as I have remembered, I've been very emotionally attached to anyone I call friends, which is in air quotes. Well, it's in air quotes when I do it, but it's actual quotes on the email. Friendships have come and gone, but my emotional commitments have always been solid. I have recently learned, however, that what I thought was normal emotional support for some of these friends has turned out to be more like emotional vampirism on their part. Allow me to explain. In any normal friendship, when the term emotional support is thrown around, you support a friend by being the shoulder to cry on until they can get back on their feet. Some people need more time than others, but the key is that they eventually can and want to get to that place where they can stand up again, and you are there for them when they need it. When you find an emotional vampire, these are the people who never want, not cannot, reach that last step of standing on their own. It's like being a bellhop. You help to carry your guests, friends, baggage, emotions, up to their room and make sure that they are settled in before leaving them alone. In the case of the emotional vampire, these are the types of guests that will hand you their bags, usually all instead of just some, and will have you running around with them in the lobby for what seems like forever. Eventually, you get tired and have no choice but to drop their baggage. And when you do, your friend gets aggressive, saying how everything in there, even if it's mixed in with cheap stuff, is precious and how dare you not care about it. And how your baggage, because we all have our own, isn't nearly as important as theirs. Emotional vampires will also repeat the same process over and over again, often bringing it up long after any other person would have gotten over it. I think at this point I should mention that you should be careful when it comes to recognizing the difference. Friends, especially those who have suffered a great loss or a severe trauma, will need more support. That last part is especially true of your partners. When they're suffering, you need to be there for them. You are their first source of support. Emotionally supporting a friend is being there for them at a time when they need it most. Being the victim of an emotional vampire is when every little thing from my date dumped me to so-and-so called me a name results in floodgates of tears, ludicrous favors, and attacks directed towards you when they don't get what they want. Sorry for the wall of text, and I hope that this helps your viewers. I look forward to the new episode. Keep up the good work. Nicholas Scribetail. We have a PS here and a PPS. PS, a question for Shiva. Do you know of any nice places in Portsmouth, New Hampshire for a good first date? I have someone I'm interested in, and our halfway point is a city, but I am very unfamiliar with that part of New Hampshire. I'm more familiar with places like Salem, New Hampshire, which unfortunately is way out of the way for him to drive. PPS, I have no idea if this is still going on, but the best voice goes to Saverin. However, I also have to give props to Fuzzball for his hilarious voice impersonations. Oh, thank you. And that's not really like an official thing. It's just something that people started doing and
haven't
stopped doing.
It's like it started a long, long time ago. People started saying it not knowing what it was, and now they'll just keep saying it forever just because this is the voice contest that never ends.
Yeah.
It goes.
As far as a good place in Portsmouth, I grew up like 2 hours away from there. I've only been there a handful of times, so sorry, no, not really.
So actually, to the meat of that email, that is like the best fucking way I've ever heard that described.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because holy shit, have I been dealing with somebody exactly like that emotional vampire? Excuse me.
Have you got all the evil out now?
No. Complete with the tears, ludicrous favors, and attacks when they don't get what they want. Like, holy crap. That is a fantastic term, and I'm totally going to steal it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because...
your mother sucks in hell! Ah! That's the ludicrous insults.
Oh, just crazy shit like calling me a disgrace to my LGBT status and, like, the fuck? What does that even mean?
I dub thee fuck, destroyer of worlds and I'm gays!
Apparently I'm, like, gays. A bad gay or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, when I heard them say that, it's like, Jesus Christ on a pogo stick. Of all the people to hear, have this get slung at, you're like the least.
Oh, I know. But it was like, I've had pretty much that whole situation going on for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that is a fantastic way to describe it.
That's a little bit over the top.
But yeah, you saw what I was referring to. I sent that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, get a load of this shit.
That shit was whack, yo. Ew. We've been doing this so long, we end up fucking finishing each other's stupid jokes. But.
Yeah, well, that means we should just keep doing it until we become one entity.
We are an outcast. We will podcast now.
We become this amorphous blob of energy.
Yes.
Audio just appears.
Communicating solely in fart sounds.
So, pretty much normal.
A Dalek screaming.
Cyberman vomit.
I was just thinking the conversation we had a couple years ago about a Dalek fleshlight that would scream as you're fucking it. That's a toy I want to see. If only the Doctor Who fandom had an equivalent to Bad Dragon that made, like, blow-up girls look like the companions. and Dalek fleshlights and just fleshlights of all the aliens.
Hell, all they have to do is make one that's shaped like a TARDIS. make it look like it's nice on ice. Just sit on your desk. It's a TARDIS. What are you going to do? Pop open the bottom. Fleshlight.
It's kind of like the popcorn bucket with a hole in it in the movie theater. Hey, baby, check it out. It's bigger on the inside. Oh! They reach in. Just have it.
Or you know, when you're using the TARDIS fleshlight, it makes the time rotor noise.
Yes. The old school one where, you know, oh baby, you're really making my time rotor rise. Set those coordinates. It's funny because I was just watching The Doctor's Wife the other day, and you know, the TARDIS being called sexy. And
mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder if anyone has written slash fic.
They've written
Doctor Who slash fic. I know that, but slash fic. Somebody slash TARDIS.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, you thought of it. Somebody else there has written it. I'm sure.
I'm quite sure.
I don't mean the anthropomorphized TARDIS.
I know. Yes.
Yeah. There's that scene in 11th Hour when the new Sonic screwdriver comes out of the console and someone was like, oh, she's happy to see him. Because it's like, whoop. What were we talking about?
Fleshlights.
Right, yeah, that'll...
Hey,
that'll
look, here's some deviant art of humanized male police box hugging tenant doctor.
Oh, jeez.
So it's gay inanimate slash fic.
Wow.
Internet, thank you. You always provide.
The internet is more porn.
Yes. Who wants to go next?
I'll read an email.
Okay.
About the evil road roller. I don't know what this means.
Maybe it involves Mel Gibson.
I remember my first friend when I moved to where I am now. There's a funny story about it, too. In sixth grade, some punk kid mistook him for someone else and nearly choked him to death. I charged through a crowd of people and stood before that idiot, and he ran away like a pussy. My friend still thinks of me as the human bulldozer. Friendship needs trust, communication, and positive cooperation like any relationship. But friendship is the icing on the life cake. From the westbound Wusky, Ember. Wow. Yeah, bowling over... Bowl over the small using your mighty body. Ah!
There's one thing fat's good for. You pick up your belly, you hit him in the face with
No one walks again after being sat on by the blob.
Typhoon! You just lift your belly.
Do that E Honda grab where he grabs you by the scruff of the neck, slams you down, then just jumps on you. Crush their rib cages.
Crush all their rib cages.
Yep. There's another guy like, hey, according to Mortal Kombat, people have like 6 or 7, so I'm gonna have to go with that.
Yeah. Johnny Cage. Oh, I never finished watching that that live action Mortal Kombat that Jerry Ryan was in. It was a web series that came out like last year.
Oh yeah, the
Mortal Kombat Legacy, was that it?
I think it was.
Yeah, I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes, which is great that I haven't seen it in ages, because now it'll all be out and I won't have to wait a week between episodes. Yeah. I can just go back and watch them all. But it was like a serious attempt to do a live-action Mortal Kombat that was actually really gritty and less comic booky than like the films were.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty brutal, because like the fucked up characters like Scorpion were like really fucked up, you know? He had like a skin disease that made him look like that, and his eyes were like inside out.
Ugh.
And he was a cannibal. He had like a refrigerator full of heads and shit like that. Yeah.
Did not see this.
And, Jerry Ryan. Do you know Jerry Ryan? Jerry Ryan played 7 of 9 in Voyager.
Oh, okay.
She plays Sonya Blade in this series. And it's really, really pretty cool stuff. But, I should check that out.
And yeah, it'll be out now.
You should check that out. And everybody should check that out. It's like a year old now, but hey, whatever.
Still. Oh, a year old on the internet? Shoot, man.
That's dinosaur.
Yeah, that's Jesus riding a dinosaur time.
So, my turn?
Yep.
Nice things happened. Let's see. Hello, Notcasters, Sovereign, Seaver, and Foozwolf. It's me again, Cartesian. Don't mind the email change. It's been a bit since my last email, and I'm fine. The thing with my parents is finding my porn got sorted out wordlessly. Let's just say I won't be alone with a computer for a while. Aww. And I have a little good news. Your advice to me for the guy who is questioning his sexuality was to just be a friend to him, right? Well, I wasn't looking for a relationship anyways, as the environment isn't exactly suitable for a gay couple to exist. Anyway, I didn't want the whole thing with the guy before to happen, i.e. finding out I'm gay and then ditching me. So I took a leap of faith with the guy. I may have made a little mistake in asking him if he was gay first, but I did, and he said he was just kidding. I tried to stop the conversation there, but he was curious as to why I asked. I then told him I was gay. His first question was, "So why do you hate girls?" We started to become good friends from there, and he's been nothing but sweet to me. He's actually the first straight guy comfortable with me to actually invite me over to stay at his house after he knew I was gay. He teases me a lot, but in a friendly manner, which is kind of refreshing because usually people don't because they think I'll cry or something. Anyway, thanks for not casting our advice again. I really appreciate it. And another thing. I was going to send you guys an email about politics here and how people should not vote for BN, but I got a little scared because there's no way to send you an encrypted email if you don't have a public key. And I'm actually kind of worried that they have keyword screening, so I shouldn't say more in case I get arrested. You guys are safe, though. You're Americans in America. Anyway, don't vote for BN, Malaysians. Love the show. Keep it up. P.S. Saverin, love your Vasari impersonation.
Yeah, I wonder what impression he means by that.
Was that the Asian great honor voice you were doing that one time?
I have no idea.
I thought that was hilarious. But, I mean, that was just off the top of your head, not a specific.
We bring great honor to this podcast. Well, I'm glad to hear that the stuff with your family worked out and that you've made a friend. That's always good.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up that you have to fear
yeah
anything for talking about shit on the internet, but, well.
It's Malaysia. What yeah are you going to do?
That is something that's kind of, I read that, it's like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And what sucks about people living there is, like, a lot of them that are young can't even get tourist visas.
Mm.
An artist that I'm aware of was trying to come to the U.S. for a convention, and he's from Southeast Asia, and he got his visa denied because of insufficient ties to his home country.
What?
Yeah, it was...
They're afraid that he'll jump ship.
That basically he'll come here on a visa and then, like, lol, not...
So if he had, like, a wife and three kids, they'd let him because he would have a reason to go back home.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, but because said artist is, like, Southeast Asian, they're like, nah, fuck you. But if he was from Europe, probably yeah wouldn't be a problem.
Huh.
Yes, they're just basically worried that he'll come for a visit and then not go home.
I feel kind of bad because he was, like, super hyped, too, but that's... I hope he didn't buy the tickets.
So, something fucked up happened a couple years ago. FC's guest of honor was Paul Kidd, the author from uh-huh Australia. And because of some kind of issue, he wasn't able to get his immigration for his travel visa.
Weird.
Yeah, so, and I think, I don't know if the con had already paid for his plane ticket or not. They might have, because it had been scheduled, like, you know, ages in advance and stuff like that. And, like, he was dealing with a lot of, the whole thing is, like, on his FA journals, there's, like, a whole series of them, of how he's going through this step, and how, you know, bureaucrats are, you know, dragging their feet on, you know, checking all the right boxes and getting him onto the next step and stuff, but...
That's just
kind of crazy.
After knowing the thing is, and just after the X and everything else, getting a tourist visa from Oz is pretty simple if you're a native Australian. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Then there was the other crazy thing you guys probably heard about. I don't know if we ever mentioned this on the show, but the two British kids, I guess kids, they're probably in their late teens or early 20s. It said they were going to destroy America. But that was just slang for, you know, we're going to have a kick-ass time and drink a lot, basically.
Fuck a lot of women.
Yeah, so they got refused entry into the country and tossed back to the UK, you know, by like Homeland Security or some shit. Because they tweeted that they were going to destroy America. And it was like,
seriously, that fucking agency needs to go.
It was just like,
the TSA needs to fucking die too.
Yeah, like you can't even say something fucked up. Something that looks fucked up on Twitter of all places is like, I don't know. Just really derpy.
Yeah. Bitches and whores.
Yeah. Bitches and whores.
So.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah. I mean, we're just going to basically run through all the emails, do a thing for Adam and Eve, and just kind of call it.
Okay.
We're all pretty tired. It's been a really long week. Yeah. So this isn't going to be a very long episode, guys. Expect it maybe a little bit over an hour.
Yeah. And I had to take a couple hours off on Tuesday for a dental appointment. So I'm actually working tomorrow. I'm making up like 3-4 hours of time tomorrow. So like, I don't want to be doing this till 1 a.m.
Nah, it's only just now 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
we should be fine.
Yeah. We got 2 short emails left.
So the subject line, friendship is magic. You know, that one's too easy. Hey, it's Brandt again with a story of star-crossed lovers and the friends who back them up. To me, friendship is trusting someone and knowing they'd back me up. Back in the hellish netherworld known as high school, my parents were pretty picky about who I could date, and my long-distance girlfriend didn't fit the bill. I decided to brandish the middle finger and sneak her down to see me anyway, and have as many alibis over the weekend as I could manage. Between imaginary shifts at work and several friends willing to lie so their good buddy could get some action, I had a whole weekend lined up to spend alone with my girlfriend. Unfortunately, I was busted at home when my parents found directions I had printed off to the bus station where she would be arriving, but that's a story for another day. My girlfriend had to rely on her friends once after her rather unstable home situation exploded and she had nowhere to go. I wired what little emergency cash I could manage to her best friend. My girlfriend didn't have a bank account or transportation. And said friend gave her a place to stay when she had nowhere else to go save a park bench. Ultimately, friends are the people you can count on to stand by you when things are tough and pick you up when you fall. Continuing the trend I have of throwing in an arbitrary postscript on every email I send, I think you guys should do a sexy pick of the week instead of, or perhaps in addition to, your music breaks. Surely you all browse enough during the week to share the wealth a bit.
We just have very widely varying tastes.
So this week, Savrin picked this. This next week, it's like cutesy, spanking,
firm.
Mm-hmm.
Or L-shaped.
7 penis, 15 titted hard tars
and
wings.
In this picture, someone drew all 3. Cute, spanking, and herms. That'd be the, what's the dude's name? Fuck. Oro, I think. His name is longer than that on FN.
No, Dirt Nakagami.
No. I'm thinking of somebody else. The one that does sort of the sketchy style that I fixed it. I have to quit watching because he's doing like some fucked up Rule 34. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. But yeah, well, I mean, there is one podcast that does a whole segment on what I last masturbated to. And then the hosts play like, well, they were doing 20 questions. And now that was taking too long. So now they're doing 10 questions.
10 questions. What did I fap to this week? Well, yeah, you know, I want to know. Oh. Is it a horror from beyond the stars? No.
Was it Q Picard flat / fic?
No.
So that does show promise.
We can ask them about that since they'll both be here next month.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got my tickets for that con in the mail today. I just need to buy my ticket for, like, the photo op or something. Meet Patrick Stewart and John Delancey. local sci-fi con. Should be fun.
Yep.
Y'all gonna go?
Debating it.
Maybe.
I know that sometime next month my work's doing a Habitat for Humanity build on a Saturday.
Mm.
So I'm probably going to end up doing that, but I don't know what weekend it's going to be.
Is it one of those things where it's like, you should volunteer, or you're volunteering?
No, it's something I've actually wanted to do, a Habitat for Humanity build. Oh, I just never did it, so I want to actually participate because I'm weird that way.
Build like a mud hut or an igloo. You know, build habitats that are completely inappropriate to the environment that they're going to be in.
Habitats,
I think it's Plano, so it's not exactly going to be a mud hut. I think Plano would evict them.
It's habitats against humanity.
You go to a rainforest, and there I said rainforest. I had to correct myself mentally. You go to a rainforest and build like a mall for people to live in or something.
Build an igloo. Gotta keep importing that ice.
Yep. I started watching a documentary tonight on Antarctica, and people building an igloo. It's actually really, because the ice is so thick, they were using a saw to cut out perfect cubes of ice to build an igloo with. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch the rest of it sometime.
So. Yeah, I've seen that done in person before.
Really?
Yes.
Were you in Alaska or something?
New Hampshire. It gets fucking cold.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, I've seen ice like 4 feet thick.
Yeah.
So
I know, I had relatives who went ice fishing up there all the time. I think I went once, I went along. It was a fucking miserable experience because I didn't like fishing. I was like 10 years old, and I'm just standing there on this ice, just fucking frozen completely.
Ice fishing is pretty goddamn boring.
Yeah. Fishing is pretty goddamn boring. Ice fishing is boring and cold.
I went ice fishing once. I will.
Ice fisting.
That's something else entirely.
Extreme temperature play.
God, this frozen dildo. It just makes me think of a kid in the Christmas story that stuck his tongue to the frozen bar.
Some temperature play can be really fun.
Yeah, but then there's like a dildo made of ice.
That's really fun.
That sounds a little extreme to me.
It's fun.
So, how did you get this burn on your ass? Well, we were playing with an ice dildo and it got stuck, so then we decided to stick my ass in the oven to melt it.
I don't have to use my ass. Let me just put it that way.
I'm thinking with my own orify.
It's like, hey, look. Here. Look, the only vagina I own is in a tube, so.
You're sticking an icicle in it. You're like, I'm not really getting anything out of this. I don't see what the attraction is.
This isn't very hot. Not very cold either. I mean, it's kind of plastic.
My hand's kind of getting numb. Am I doing it right?
No.
You start to feel good. God.
I have used ice cubes in sex play before, but not like an ice dong or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a very strange turn of events. It's like talking about friends doing awesome things, and that is cool stuff, Brent. But then they're like, it veers off into ice dildos.
So this week's item on AdamEve.com is a bucket of ice.
Actually, this week's topic was kind of like, talk about the cool stuff your friends have done for you, or the crazy shit you and your friends have done. And it's like, damn. Now I gotta think of any exciting adventures. It's like, I've had a very mundane life in that time thing. Like, me and my friends are pretty straight-laced. And even, in terms of doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like, in high school, I didn't do anything really terribly crazy. I mean, I went off-roading some, and I went, you know, it's like.
There was that time I nearly got us killed.
Yeah, there was that.
The wreck?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one time, me and my bro, we were driving through Longview, Texas, just god-awful place. And this my bro, he was driving, right? Wasn't paying fucking attention.
Hey, I was paying attention.
Had a car full of porn, so, you know, the state troopers would have loved us. Nah.
Fucking good Christian values, yeah.
God. Yeah, that was an adventure. That was an adventure.
Hey,
yeah.
It got us a very good phrase that has.
I was gonna say, got us an epic hashtag. Fat and suspicious.
Yep, because that's what we do. Fat and suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, there's the
fat and suspicious and not Twilightlicious.
I'm trying to remember like other wacky or extreme adventures. I mean, you know, there's this. Spraining my ankle at that howl, so
yeah.
Everybody had to fucking take me to a clinic in a town that we weren't familiar with, you know, in the middle of the night. And they had wheelchair races in the hallway while I was getting my leg x-rayed. God.
I was going to say, I've had some late night Walmart adventures that were pretty special.
I've had some late night Walmart adventures where this was like in my teens where I was fine. My other friend was kind of drunk, and then his other friend was incredibly drunk. Mm-hmm. So he just was walking around the store in shorts.
No shirt.
And then he just, like, picked up a foam mattress pad and walked around with it for a while. Left it in the toys. This is like a 3 a.m. Walmart adventure.
God.
You got they have to see some wacky shit in there late at night. Especially when me and my friends come in. Granted, this is when I was, like, 22 or so, and still very dumb.
Man, a whole group of Herms came in last night. It was crazy.
You know, it's like, Liam Neeson ain't got anything on these guys. Oh, I can't help but wonder. How big is Liam Neeson's cock?
They're like, where's your furniture department? Don't mind, we'll make our own. And then they all laid down. Don't understand it.
So like, where are your giant pillows? Because they can't sit in chairs.
Oh yeah, they're so unergonomic or something.
You can sit on them, but they can't sit on things.
Yes.
Oh, they kind of just overflow. But
go down that list of 100 things to do in Walmart in the middle of the night when you're bored or something. Only a couple of them stuck in my head because I thought they were amusing. Was, you know, hide in the middle of a clothes rack and whisper, buy me, to people that walk by. Something else was like actually setting up a tent in the camping department and sitting there with
getting
the little
pillows and stuff.
Yeah, like just camping out at the display tent area or something. Defend it from a gun from the hunting department.
Yes. Oh.
Defending my territory.
How not to get arrested.
Yeah, really.
Other than that, I haven't had too many wacky adventures recently. I'm afraid most of my friends have grown up and become adults.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
oh,
I admit that, you know, I hear these people, man, when I was in high school, I did some crazy shit. I'm like, I never did that.
Well,
I was a good little church. I was a good little preacher's kid till like 20.
I was talking to someone the other day and just text. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to talk too much. I'm going to have to be in meetings all morning. And I just kind of thought, it's like, when did we turn into adults, go to works in slacks and attend meetings? Because suddenly I'm an adult, and oh my god, what is this?
I'm fixing to have a mortgage in a few months. I mean,
God, it's like you're going to be a real person.
I know. Well, it occurred to me earlier. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a mortgage, and I have my own business. The whole American dream thing seems to be kind of working out for me.
Yeah.
So you don't have that 2.5 kids, unless you got 2.5 printers.
Well, we do have Rory and Fez and Indy and Jade.
What's Indy and Jade?
Jade is a tiger. He was my mom's. She named him. And Indy is my German Shepherd that Tyrion puts his
fedora
on. His hat on.
Yeah. I didn't know he had a name.
Yeah, his name's Indy. And Jade has been wearing my little gray hipster hat. So, like, he... Mm-hmm. Tyrion left for work the other day, and he left them sitting on the love seat with, like, a blanket around them, and they were both wearing their hats. And I was like, they look like they should be, like, private eyes or something, you know?
The stuff that Tyrion posts with Rory and Fez and their adventures is
the getting into the so cabinet cute. Was hilarious.
I actually set that up because, you know, we're getting up in the morning. He's like, here, take the boys out to the living room for a day. Okay. And then I had to figure out a cute way of posing them. And I was like, I'm going to do something different. Rory's going to look for muffins in the cabinet. So I set them up so that Rory is standing on Fez's back and going through the cabinet and... Tyrion said he thought they were very cute when he found them. We both took pictures. So. I've been posted pictures of Rory, or sketches of Rory and Fez to the For Planet FA account.
Yeah,
too.
Those are pretty cute.
Yeah, so I've got like one more to upload that I got down to FWA, and then that'll be all the drawings that we've had of them. So we'll need to get more in that sketchbook.
They are really cute. So one thing that we should mention. This is sort of a new topic time. We're not tangenting here.
Okay.
So, Notcast has had an IRC channel for pretty much ever.
Yeah.
And it's irc.anthrochat.net /Notcast. Make sure you have a registered nick to join the channel. If people hear a couple little bling noises in the background, it's because I'm getting mentions in the channel. And people are going, hey, are we getting a new episode today or tomorrow? Sure, you're getting a new episode.
No.
you have the episode when you hear this.
I was just thinking that, yeah. When you hear this, it'll be new. Unless you've listened to it before, future people.
Yep. This is my message to the future. Don't forget to flush.
Oh.
So there's that, because we've been meaning to toss it out there, because it's like, oh, yeah, we've...
Yeah, a lot of our contact info we kind of stopped throwing out there, so...
Yeah, we should fix that. We have one more email, and we can read that out, and then we can do our ad and make sure that everybody knows how to contact us.
Okay.
Because that's kind of important.
Yay! So do it. Do the last email.
Okay, hold on. I'm going.
Oh, I thought it was separate. My bad.
No.
This is going the opposite direction.
I'm confused.
The email has skipped you.
All right. So, of course. God damn it, guys.
I can read the email if you don't.
No, it's fine. It's just... Good evening, Notcasters. This is Kara, the Pacific Northwest Snow Leopard, writing to you in a two-part email. I apologize beforehand as it reaches an annoyingly long length, and I hope correct paragraph structure and punctuation will make up for that. It certainly helps. Though I don't know how much it'll help me. First, I bring you a conventional report from Vancouver.
Vancouver?
Yeah, what's Vancouver.
Okay.
2012. Vancouver took place March 9th through 11th. You may have noticed it was more than a month ago. And I could make excuses for not writing emails such as finals week, spring break without a computer, or having to spend a few days settling into spring quarter, but it was really just sheer laziness that kept me from writing till now. My local friend, Cyrus, and I boarded a train from Seattle to Vancouver early Friday morning. It's the first time I've ever been on a trip without school or family, so it was quite exciting to just go anywhere.
Sounds pretty cool.
Unfortunately, once we got to customs, which is in Vancouver, not on the border, we were pulled aside as our claim of going to a convention was not legitimate enough. Although the fact we had to repeat the convention's name over and over because the officer kept confusing it with the city's name might have added to the confusion.
Oh, dear.
We then proceeded to have our names and IDs checked and double-checked as someone else looked the convention up online. We then had our bags dug through and had such items such as sketchbooks, which were flipped through, hats with ears, tails, and a few of our badges examined by the police. Thankfully, it didn't take long, and the officers were fairly nice about the whole thing. Oh, God. Strip search furries. The hotel was only a short drive away and was surprisingly nice. Our hotel room, shared with a few nice Canadians, was really nice with a small living room type area complete with a couch and chairs and the like. were 347 attendees, although I'm not sure how many of those aren't three-day attendees, and they filled the hotel quite nicely. The Dealer's Den Artist Alley was a little small with about 24 dealers and artists in the same room, but it was a first-year convention, so I'm quite happy with the awesome people they had in there. I didn't attend any panels myself, but there weren't many to attend with only having two rooms. There are some definite lulls of activity where we didn't really have anything better to do than go back to our hotel room and watch stuff on Cyrus's laptop. But I can point to us just not knowing many folks and not really into partying to explain our breaks in activity. I personally really like perusing the vendors and as such tend to buy a lot of stuff, so that's where I ended up spending a lot of time. I got a few buttons and spot. I accidentally got 2-for-1 badges from, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, so Onagnoko. And Cyrus got a badge from Deveco. Cyrus's character is very, very girly, so he got back the super buff, manly Osprey Fennec box and made us giggle for the rest of the con. Overall, it was a very fun convention. I experienced my first adventure as an adult, and Cyrus bought alcohol for the first time as he was 19, and I had to make sure he didn't fall over when he was swaying and talking to people about music. I met a lot of new friends and peoples and learned that, yes, Canadians are generally very nice people. I'm looking forward to attending next year, and next time I will remember that if you buy furry smut over the border, you have to take it back through customs. Now for the second, more serious part of my email, where I may ramble due to emotions. Around 4 years ago, my parents got divorced, and I started switching between my dad's house and my mom's apartment every week. For over the months, the reasons my mother left my father became more and more apparent without her around to take the brunt of his actions. To give a brief explanation of what he was doing, he hasn't been raised getting whatever he wanted, and he's a psychopath in the way that he doesn't have a well-developed sense of morality. He's a compulsive liar. He doesn't know how to manage money. He was an alcoholic and addicted to pharmaceutical drugs that he got from his father, a psychiatrist, and he occasionally did cocaine. He was racist, although he rarely said anything, had tons of pride, and he idolized the rock star lifestyle.
Sounds like a real winner.
After about a year and a few months, I think, I got in a fight with him at my brother's wedding, and the next morning I got all my stuff from his place and moved to my mom's, and I just stopped talking to him. A few months after that, I heard from my sister. It's worth noting that out of all my siblings, I'm the youngest and the only one blood related to this guy. That he had moved to Hawaii, where he's always wanted to live, and checked himself into a rehab program. Now, a couple of years later, he's been sober for quite some time, and every other week I get a text from him saying he loves me, and he thinks about me, and he wants to help me through college. I know for a fact he's still a liar, and fairly untrustworthy from comparing what he's told my mom in their short emails to what we hear from my other siblings who still talk to him. Despite all the bad things he's done and said, I sometimes feel bad for ignoring him. I don't know if I could ever forgive him for not paying my school tuition when I was going to one of the best high schools in Seattle and getting me kicked out, or somehow failing to pay the rather small bills he had on his $12,000 a month job, getting us kicked out of two houses, or for saying the horrible things he said to my mom as she is native and in turn me as a native former, or not being able to drive me to school in the morning because he was drinking at a friend's house. Which in turn dropped my GPA so low it was impossible to get me back into another private school or one of the myriad other things he did. But that was all in the past, and at least he seems to be trying, and he still loves me. Let's see. If I hadn't lived with my mom, I wouldn't know this much about my traditional culture. I wouldn't have spent years on college campus with a professor for a parent. I wouldn't have acquired certain skills for school. I wouldn't have learned how to live on a small budget. And I wouldn't have spent as much time with my now stepdad, who is one of the most amazing human beings I will or have ever met. So not particularly angry at my dad for not giving me a home. I'm really just conflicted on how I should treat my father. He was a horrible person who did horrible things, and I'm still angry with him. I sometimes still have nightmares of him, but he's sober now and he's trying, and I don't know if I should keep ignoring him or just say hi once or twice. I know we won't ever be chums, and I'm definitely not telling him I'm trans or bi, What if he dies in some freak accident? I don't want him thinking I hate him. I don't think I'll forgive him anytime soon. Maybe never. But I'm not sure if I really hate him anymore. I don't know what to do. Do I call him, say hi, and ask how he's doing? Do I keep ignoring him till I know better how I'm feeling towards him? Or do I actively try to repair a relationship? Any sort of advice will help, and Ari's helping just typing has eased some of my stress. Thank you, and keep on casting, Kara. There's a P.S. P.S. is a little note to tack on to my other email. I forgot to ask this earlier. Fuzz, how is Pearls coming along, or is that just a silly discussion because I would pay good money for that? Additionally, do you know of any other furry lesbian novels, comics, anthologies? Because besides P.G. King, which I already have, I cannot find anything. So.
Okay.
So.
Real quick on that. Pearls, it's right now, it's not a serious project. It was just kind of a discussion. But it is something I would like to do at some point. We have a lot of anthologies that we're taking submissions for right now, though. So as soon as we get some of those cleared off the plate, we'll see if maybe one of our editors wants to, tackle the lesbian story anthology.
I know, I would love to see it, but, I'm biased.
Lesbian stories are so few and far between in the fandom, though. So, yeah, there's Peachy Keen, and I think... Oh, there's a lot of erotica, though, like from Genus. A lot of that is female-female because, you know, they're selling to the straight guy audience.
Yeah,
and
but
straight
that's
guys
more
are into
porn
that.
Lesbian.
That's
than...
not really... It's not really a story. Well, I mean, it's the difference between a character-driven story arc and just...
Fat.
Well, even then, it's not just fapping. I mean, it has humor in it, which is like a lot of the best short porn stories are going to. But that's like the only thing I could think of off the top of my head that would have anything lesbianic. I don't know if that's the word.
I don't know. Yeah,
close enough. So, we're making it up as we go along anyways.
Yeah.
As for the meat of the email.
Yes.
What I would do is probably just say, look, I don't hate you, but I'm going to be real slow to forgive the stuff you pulled. I'm willing to talk to you, and we'll see what goes from there.
I would.
That basically puts that, no, I don't hate you, you're just not my favorite person. It puts it out there, and... puts, well, a minimal amount of effort. You know, it's like, we'll see how this goes. And then at that point, you just interact with him on a level you feel comfortable with. And if he's sincerely contrite and really wants to fix things up with you, it can go that way. Or if he's just being a phony douchebag, you haven't invested a ton of emotional energy into it. That's what I would do.
I would kind of start as maybe the quick, hey, you know, keep it real short and such and just kind of feel things out. I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, but opening a dialogue and getting sort of a, all right, this is where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I haven't talked to you in a while or whatever.
Yeah. No, that sounds good to me.
I mean, it's like you said in your email, if something bad happened tomorrow, you didn't want him to think you hated you, you know, all that. So I would really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair thing to do.
I don't know if going right in repairing, you know, going in with the idea of repairing your relationship, and I would feel things around.
Yeah, but
these
at least
things take time.
An open dialogue, not even like a constant dialogue, but the fact that it's there that can be engaged in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not, I hate you, go away. It's, you're not my favorite person, but I'll listen to what you have to say. And
I'm still really mad at you.
Yeah, and you have every right to be. From what your email said, I mean, you're perfectly justified in being mad. But you can move beyond that if you want to.
It's a matter of...
To, you know, I mean, minimum, It's like, no, I don't hate you. You're not my favorite person, though.
Just from what you've said, it feels like you want something. I mean, you're obviously torn, so if it was easy, you could just say, ignore it, walk away, be done. So there's obviously some desire there, even if it's tempered with a lot of anger and a lot of hurt. So.
Yeah. No, I agree with you guys. Sounds like y'all covered the base pretty well.
Yeah. We're doing good.
But thank you for the nice con report.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is cool that there are additional conventions up in Canada.
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 now, I think. They actually, a bunch more popped up this year. That was pretty cool. So, our idea for... I'm going to go ahead and run out the topic for next week. Is that we want... I don't really like the furries ruin everything hashtag on Twitter. I know it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time... I think it's a little negative, and I'd like to see furries take more pride in their community and their fandom. You know, yeah, that we have some problems, but there's a lot to really enjoy in this community. So next week's episode is Furries Improve Everything. So I would like people to write in with their positive experiences in the fandom. What has the fandom done for you? You know... Friends you've made, helping you come out of your shell.
Giving you a place to live when you're going to different cities.
And furries that have helped you, and, you know, you met a partner, you know. Just positive experiences with the furry community. And I try to keep up on what furries do as far as charity and stuff goes, but I know that there's a lot I don't see. So if you guys have heard any cool stories, you know, like the donations to Fernando's and
yeah, that was cool.
Some of the various donations at you know, the charity auctions at furry cons and such, you know. So you're right in with some stories like that. Just go throw out real out there. Throw out real quick our contact information. Email is notcast@foxstuffers.com. Is it next week that we're recording on Thursday?
Yeah, recording on Thursday.
Yes, okay. Because
so,
Avengers on Friday, baby.
I think that's Thursday. I think that's May 2nd. Is that right?
Or is that's May 3rd, because Avengers comes out on the 4th. Okay. Hey, I know. I'll look at my calendar, which is on my computer.
So, or
the calendar that's
let's right say Thursday, May 3rd by... 8 p.m. Central Time. Email that in to notcast@foxstuffers.com.
Yeah.
Our email address is foxstuffers.com. Our live journal for Affinity and Twitter is all notcast. Saverin threw out the notcast IRC info earlier.
Yep. And it's, you know, make sure you have to just register your nick, and that's it. So look up. Basic IRC commands to register a nickname.
Yeah.
Because it's just the minimum amount of effort to prove you're not some jerk bot.
But my registered nickname was jerk bot.
Well, that's not a problem. You have to act like one. So, I've picked an item for this week, which is kind of interesting.
Apropos.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about our... sticking icicles places. Well, right now on AdamEve.com, this week's item is the Cyberskin Stroker Triplets. It's three...
I love the colors. Pinkie Pie, Twilight, and Rainbow Dash.
Oh, God.
You didn't notice that?
I didn't even think that.
I saw that from across the room, and I was like, you pony fleshlights again.
Oh. I thought it was like, hey, look, it's a three fur. So, yeah. For God. Okay, so anyways, Cyberskin Stroker Triplets, it's $30. You get three strokers, a pink mouth, a deep purple pussy, and a tight blue ass. Oh.
Wow. All on one. What if they were all on the same creature and the colors were that vastly different? I mean, who has a purple pussy and a blue asshole?
a sparkle dog.
You can fuck a sparkle dog at adamandeve.com. Use our coupon code KNOT, KNOT, to save monies and get free shipping and three free DVDs. Hopefully one of the DVDs will have Sparkle Dog getting airtight down there. Anything else to add to that, Sarah?
No, I didn't even think that. God damn it. It's $30. Coupon code not half off. Get yourself something to wank with.
You know, honestly, $30 for three
wankers.
I guess they're not fleshlights. They're not.
They're disposable fat devices. Disposable fuck tubes. But they're pink.
Wow, this is it, my first girlfriend.
Disposable fuck tube.
So-and-so, or as I call her, disposable fuck tube.
I can't believe you didn't see that, Saverin. I mean, it jumped out and I...
I'm holding my head in shame.
He can't wait for a couple weeks from now, Fuzz.
Is there a second set that is like yellow, white, and orange?
No. So, yeah, I've got... well, actually, so it's the 27th.
It's like 6 weeks, right?
2 months.
Yeah.
2 months till my birthday.
I really need to get going.
Yes.
Yeah, that. You really do. AdamandEve.com. Get yourself some fuck toys.
A disposable fuck tube. Man, that would have been a great name for a podcast. Would have been hell on iTunes, I guess, to have the name of the show be Disposable Fuck Tube. But oh, no, that's a good band name.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Disposable
like
Fuck Tube?
Like a punk ska band or something?
Hi, we're Disposable Fuck Tube. We're opening for Masturbating Feces. Or Fetus? Masturbating Fetus, that was the other great band name. Yeah.
You hurt my head.
Disposable Fuck Tube. Okay, so anything else we need to add on there?
I'm sure there's nothing we need to add.
Anything we want to add?
No, I'm good.
Don't do drugs, kids.
And on that note,
good night.
Good night.
Big balls.